You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. I'm your host, Raymond Thomas Pronk. Today I'll be primarily covering the story in the news today, which is the airliner, the Malaysian airliner flight MH17, that according to the President of the United States was shot down by a Russian SA-11 missile. That's a surface-to-air missile used primarily for military defense of military installations, and it's primarily to shoot down jet aircraft, military aircraft, helicopters, transports. And apparently the Russians have provided not only training but also this equipment to their pro-Russian separatist in the Ukraine, because they're still trying to pinpoint exactly where this surface-to-air missile was launched from. There are three possibilities here. The Russians obviously have these missiles, and the plane was near the Russian border, about 25 miles away. But it was flying over the Ukraine, and really in a contested area of the Ukraine, where the Russian separatist rebels, supported by the Russians, who have provided them military equipment, including these BUK launchers, or Buk launchers that are equipped with four surface-to-air missiles, these SA-11, NATO designates them the Gadfly. I raised yesterday the question, why was a airliner flying over this area? That was my immediate question. I was puzzled by it. I couldn't believe that this airspace was not totally restricted. Well, it was restricted. I did a little research, and apparently the Ukraine government, not the ones that are being supported by the Russians, but the Ukraine government has restricted the airspace below a certain altitude. I believe it's 30,000 feet it's restricted, so you definitely shouldn't go below that. But this is the most common flight path if you're going from Europe to Southeast Asia. And other airlines have been flying it. Others have avoided it. But given the fact that you've had at least two, if not, and possibly three military aircraft, one being a military transport, another being a helicopter, and maybe even a jet fighter, have been brought down by surface-to-air missiles, I would have thought that the entire airspace above where the rebels and the Ukrainian government are fighting or contending for would have been totally out of bounds for any commercial airline aircraft. Because when I board a flight, I don't expect the flight path to go over a war zone. And that's what it is. You have a civil war going on with Russians supporting one side and the United States supporting Ukraine on the other, and most of the Europeans are. The problem is natural gas. Russia has a lot of natural gas and oil, and it supplies the natural gas needs of Germany, Poland, and many other European countries. And the pipeline goes through the Ukraine, and the Ukraine have not paid the Russians for that natural gas. That's one of the issues in contention. Now, I'm not excusing what the Russians have done, but you need to understand the big picture, which I'm trying to relate. And I know there's some people that want, the reaction is, well, we should go in there and just bomb them to hell. Take out these anti-aircraft, these SAM surface-to-air missile sites. Well, first of all, that's a risky proposition anyway. But you don't want to start World War III. And Russia is playing a very, very dangerous, very dangerous game. Now, I would have hoped by now that the president would have gone to the Rose Garden and announced that he's expediting the sale of natural gas to Europe. In other words, what the United States is also rich in natural gas, and it has to be liquefied to ship to Europe. But we're overflowing with it. We have over a 400-year supply of natural gas, and we're a natural exporter. If we had the facilities to first liquefy them and then the shipping to do it. You can't do it overnight, but it could be done in several years. 3 to 5 years, you could have significant supplies going to Europe. But that just hasn't been done. We're taking our sweet time about it. And Germany is naturally reluctant to really push this because it is very much dependent on Russian natural gas, as is Poland and other countries in that immediate area. That's why there's been a lot of restraint on the part of the European nations. Now, obviously, if you're one of the nations that doesn't need that is independent of it, you have a different attitude. But the nations, remember, winter is coming up. It's summer now, but winter is fast approaching, and none of those nations want the Russian supply of natural gas caught up, because then they have to really scramble to find alternative supplies, and they're not many readily available. Now, I didn't really want to get off into the economics of this, but you need to understand the background. And it's apparent that Putin wants to secure the Crimea area that for many, many decades, hundreds of years, has belonged to Russia. And you got to understand that Ukraine has been fought over by many, many nations, including Poland, for example, besides Russia. There have been many wars for the Ukraine because it is, or at least was, one of the breadbaskets of Central Europe. So enough about economics, but you need to understand that, and that's why you're not going to see any hasty reactions to this. It is a tragedy, a definite tragedy. There were a total of 298 people killed. The reason, the difference between 295 that I said yesterday and 298 today, is the fact that there were three babies that were not listed on the manifest but were aboard. And you need to understand that the majority, there were at least 10 countries, passengers from at least 10 countries, one from the United States, for example, one from New Zealand. But the vast majority of those passengers were from Holland, were from the Netherlands. Let me be a more precise. 192 out of the 298 were from the Netherlands. And many children were killed. And the three babies were from the Netherlands. You're going to see the statistic, 189 from the Netherlands. But that does not include the three babies. So that's 192. For those that are new listeners to the show, I have a blog, companion blog, and I almost didn't post it because usually I post this in the evening. But I wanted to get it up, even though I don't have all the information that I want on that blog. And the way you listen to the show is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, P-R-O-N-K. POPS.wordpress.com, and you will have, after I get off the air, links to all my shows. At the top, the most recent 60 to 70 shows, and at the bottom of the page, you'll have links to all my past shows. But in the middle, what I have is some of the information I have been looking at. And there's some excellent news stories, not coming out of the United States, but coming from Great Britain. The coverage seems to be much better over there in terms of the newspapers. So I have reproduced on my site a couple of the stories, as well as some background information, as well as new videos. Now, if you look at the past show, yesterday's Thursday show, I also have additional information. I'm not repeating. There's very little repetition. What I suggest you do is visit both yesterday's show as well as today's show, the Thursday and Friday shows. In other words, show 297 and today's is 298, and you'll get more information. I've been getting a lot of hits, people visiting the site, because I do try to aggregate a lot of the information, both videos, photos, news stories, as well as my commentary. That probably will be posted sometime, about 7, 7:30. I might be a little optimistic there, but I hope to have the show up as well as some additional information. What I usually do after the show is I edit it. I try to reduce the time of the show as much as possible. So I'm always going to have a little dead air. It might only be a second or two, but I try to eliminate that and clean it up a little bit. But it is the show. I really don't make major changes at all, but I try to tighten it up. So when I say edited, that's what I'm talking about. And that means I have to listen to the entire show and edit it. So that usually takes, if it's an hour show, it'll easily take an hour and a half to 2 hours. So it'll probably be sometime around 7:30 before it's up. So if you're actually listening to the show on KDUX, be aware of that. And that's why I posted this, even though it doesn't have my links, if you want to re-listen to the show. But most of my listeners listen to the show going to a search engine and listen to the podcast of the show. They don't listen while it's going live over the internet right now. But I have posted some information, and I'm really focusing, besides the general background, on the passengers of that flight. And that's why I have many, many pictures that, you know, obviously I don't have the capability of getting these pictures. But you do have newspapers that have gotten the reaction shots, if you will, from the relatives of the passengers that were on this flight, as well as some pictures of the people that were actually on the flight. And the majority of the passengers, they were from the Netherlands. Some of the statistics are some early numbers, but we have, as I've reported on these stories before, and over time, you're going to get better information, more accurate information. Wikipedia really has an outstanding article, which I have included on my site, and I really urge you to look at all the information I have, because there's a lot of photographs, videos, as well as articles, and some I'm looking at right now, I'm scrolling down, of photographs, and some of them will tug at your heart, because I guess the one that really got to me, and I'm trying to find the picture right now. Apparently, one of the children that was killed on the flight had a birthday party. I'm trying to find that photo. Well, you'll have pictures of some of the passengers from around the world that were on the flight. And I was really surprised they have so many pictures so soon. And I'm scrolling down. I can't find it, but I know it's there. Hang on a minute, see if I can find it. No, I'm not finding it. And one of the reasons I was scrolling down, let me give you an idea of, there were passengers from Australia, Belgium, Canada, Germany, Indonesia, Ireland, Israel, Malaysia, Netherlands, New Zealand, Philippines, United Kingdom, and the United States. The most were from the Netherlands. So this is definitely a tragedy, and let me put it in context. On 911, there were nearly 3,000 people killed in the Twin Towers as well as the Pentagon, and in the passenger jets, as well as the one that crashed in the field, I forget the flight number, but right close to 3,000. This flight, because Holland, for example, has a population of about 17 million. In terms of sheer numbers, this tragedy is equivalent for Holland as was 9-1-1 was for the United States in terms of number of U.S. citizens killed. So I wanted to at least give you that perspective. And I know there's been some criticism of our president, not today, but yesterday, really not recognizing the magnitude of this tragedy. Now, I think he's more than made up for it today. I'm not going to be critical because he probably did not have the information. I think, though, you need to change your schedule when something like this happens. That's where I think there's a mistake here. He had scheduled several fundraisers that he went to. It was very much like business as usual. And yes, there was only one U.S. citizen that we know of that's confirmed on the flight. But that's not the point. This was an international tragedy that certainly should have been avoided on many levels. There shouldn't have been airline flights over this battleground. And it's not like they didn't have any warning. There's been at least two and maybe three aircraft, yes, military aircraft, already shot down by these so-called pro-Russian rebels that are being armed and trained by the Russians. And for the life of me, I can't believe that the authorities responsible for routing airliners, and there are upwards of 400 flights a day go through this area. Now, not anymore, but that just gives you the magnitude, a sense. And this is daily. Now, not necessarily every day, but as many as 400. So there are at least several hundred flights every day have been going over this area. Yes, at a high altitude, but these missiles have a range of over 45,000 feet in terms of altitude, and they fly very fast. They fly at nearly Mach 3, a mile a second. You can't see them coming. And there's no real defense if you're a commercial airliner. No way to avoid this. Even if you could see it coming, it's going to shoot you down. It's successful. It was less than 30 seconds from the time they launched that until the impact on that commercial airliner. Now, there's been rumors that supposedly they thought it was a military aircraft. And there's some plausibility in that, because if I were on the ground and I had the responsibility for defending an area, and my radar is showing a fast-moving, high-altitude plane going over or heading in my direction, I might mistakenly identify it as a military jet. Now, what's the problem with that? My understanding is, and I'm no expert, but I had many years ago used to fly a small planes. You have a transponder that gives flight information that the people on the ground can track, and so can these military radars as well as the people that can launch these missiles. They should have had that information. They should have been trained to make sure that they don't shoot down airliners. Now, we don't have call-ins, but this has happened before. The Russians did it as well as the United States. We had a United States naval vessel shoot down an Iranian passenger jet that it mistaked for an F-14, because the F-14s that the United States, listen to the similarities here, the United States sold the Shah of Iran F-14s. When the Shah was overthrown, the Iranian Air Force still had F-14s flying, and the Navy, I believe it was a cruiser, missile cruiser, thought that an F-14 was launched from this airport, and they shot it down. Well, what they shot down was an Iranian passenger jet. That's part of the problem when you become a supplier of sophisticated military equipment, including fighter jets in terms of the United States and Russia providing surface-to-air missiles. Now, there was no denying that the U.S. naval vessel shot down the Iranian Air Force jet, passenger jet, and hundreds died there as well. And the United States admitted it. I don't think you're ever going to get an admission from either Russia or those pro-Russian rebels that they're responsible for. There are three potential sources of this missile. One being the Ukraine government. The second being these pro-Russian rebels that are supported by Russia as well as Russia. Who knows which of those three fired it? The information that's been released to the public is it's most likely those pro-Russian separatists or rebels, and they were supplied with this weaponry from Russia. Now, why would Russia provide it? Ukraine has military aircraft that can destroy armies or units, separatist rebel units on the ground. So it's not unreasonable that the rebels have this equipment. And it's sophisticated equipment, so it's obvious that these rebels either had to have training or they had to have Russian assistance in terms of maintaining and knowing how to use this equipment. It's sophisticated, and it has to be maintained. It's not something you put on your shoulder and fire a surface-to-air missile. These are fairly large, and I have photographs of them, so you can get an idea how they work, and they're very, very deadly. It's dangerous to go into an area defended by SAMs. Many, many, many U.S. Air Force fighter jets, bombers were brought down over Vietnam. And this is a more advanced technology that they're using today. And when you're a defenseless airliner, you're a sitting duck. So someone made a mistake. Actually, I think several people made mistakes. Air traffic should have been totally rerouted around, and a matter of fact, a distance from this contended area. Now it is, but it's a little late for those people that were on that passenger jet, both the crew and the passengers. So there's a lot of responsibility. The Russians are guilty, too, of supplying these type of weapons to them. I would say this was almost bound to happen, and it is a tragedy. But I really don't think it's going to change Putin and Russia's foreign policy one iota. Not one iota. He really doesn't care about American opinions and what they think of him. I know there's been polls that now Putin is and Russia is viewed a lot less favorably. Well, I would hope so. But do you really think he cares about that? Absolutely not. You see, the United States today is perceived as being a very weak nation. Even though we're the superpower of the world, we're considered weak, perceived to be weak, and perception is reality here. Perception is reality. And what I mean by that? Yes, we've intervened in Libya. What did that get us? A regime that's hostile to the United States. The regime that's currently running it, and it's really a group of religious Islamic fanatics, they don't like the United States. And we were seriously considering arming, and I think we did to a certain extent, the Syrian rebels that are trying or that are rebels against the Assad regime. Now, I would like to see the Assad regime brought down, but the problem is the rebels are primarily the same religious fanatics that were up against in Iraq as well as Libya. They don't love the United States. As a matter of fact, if they have the opportunity to shoot down a United States airliner, they would jump at the chance. And those are the rebels that we should have been shipping arms to. And they're the same rebels today. I've heard of ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. Those were the same rebels that were in Syria. They come from Syria that are waging a religious war. They're trying to reinstate the so-called caliphate. And many experts several years ago were laughing at people that proposed that that is one of their missions. And there were some people in talk radio, as well as on television, that said this, and they were literally ridiculed. This is far-right nonsense. Well, excuse me. The chickens have come home to roost. What do you think ISIS is about? That's their objective, exactly as a number of people were saying. They truly want to reinstate a caliphate, a theocracy. They're primary Sunnis, and their enemy, besides Israel, and I'll touch on Israel if I have some time, are the Shia, who are also Islamic, mainly from Iran or they're Persian Iranians that are Shia. But you also have Shia in Iraq. So you have a religious war between the Sunnis, financed largely by Saudi Arabia and Qatar. So the Middle East is up in flames. The so-called Arab Spring has become the Arab winter. It's become a hot war. And we're seeing this in Israel today. Who supports Hamas in Palestine? Iran. They're the major supporters of Hamas. They supply the thousands of rockets that Hamas is launching in Gaza into Israel. And then the president of the United States has the audacity to urge the Israeli prime minister to show some constraint? Are you kidding me? If Israel hadn't didn't have this Iron Dome technologies, these anti-missile launchers, hundreds if not thousands of Israelis would be dead today, because Hamas has been launching hundreds of rockets of varying ranges, and the ranges have gotten further and further their effectiveness. hundreds of. And if it wasn't for this anti-rocket or missile technologies that the Israelis have, they would lose tens, hundreds, if not thousands, of innocent civilians. And the president urges restraint? Mr. President, you're delusional. You become a joke. A joke. A country surrounded by over 300 million Arabs and Persians that want nothing more than to destroy the Israeli state, and you urge them restraint when Hamas is sending hundreds of rockets into civilian areas to kill civilians? You urge restraint? Are you out of your mind? That's the reaction of the Israelis, and they have shown restraint. That's why I say this president, I keep scratching my head on many, many, many fronts. His policies have failed, whether it's economic or foreign policy, as well as military strategy. He's very good at claiming credit for things, but he's also very good at avoiding blame for his own problems. The irony is the United States has been invaded by millions, tens of millions of illegal aliens, admittedly over the last 15 to 20 years. But the United States, the so-called world superpower, apparently is incapable, due to the leadership of the President of the United States, to stop illegal aliens from invading this country, including children. You see, we have a president, he doesn't want to stop that. He's encouraging this. This whole situation with the children on the U.S. borders, over 60,000 so far, that was planned, ladies and gentlemen. It was planned, just like the IRS activities were planned. Both need to be thoroughly investigated. And they'll trace right back to the White House. The president doesn't want to stop illegal immigration because the Democratic Party think the more illegal aliens that come across that border, the more future Democratic voters they have. And ultimately, that means power forever. Now, what's the problem here? We have a president that does not respect the rule of law because he is breaking the law. He is aiding and abetting the wholesale invasion by illegal aliens from not only Mexico, but from Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador. This was planned, ladies and gentlemen. I have no doubts about it. They knew what they were doing. They thought this through. We're facilitating the spread of these children all over the United States, all over the United States. And not notifying the governors of those states or the cities that these people are going to. And there's a news blackout. The press can't get in there to take pictures. What are they hiding? What are they hiding? I'll tell you what they're hiding. You're led to believe all these are poor babies and their mothers. No, they're not. Most of them are teenagers, many of them gang members of the drug cartel that have tattoos over their body. Many of them have communicable diseases, including TB, tuberculosis, and other diseases, and we're facilitating their dispersion throughout the United States instead of deporting them. The law should be changed, and that should take about a week. Frankly, it can be done in a day if Congress would act. You don't see the president pounding the table to do it. Of course he's not. He wants this to continue. He's creating this crisis. So I don't think it's the president's responsibility to urge the Israeli prime minister to restrain his forces, not when they discover terror tunnels from Gaza into Israel, where terrorists launch attacks into Israel. We have the same tunnels along the U.S.-Mexican border used primarily to smuggle drugs. In Israel, they're not smuggling drugs. They're smuggling terrorists in to attack Israelis. And that was the reason why, after showing a lot of restraint, there was a unanimous vote to launch these ground operations by the Israeli Defense forces of the IDF, both the Air Force and tanks, into Gaza. I'm amazed that they've really shown any constraint, because if it wasn't for the technology and their professionalism, many, many Israelis would have died by now. Just an example, you might not be aware of this. Where do you think Hamas has its headquarters? Where's its bunker that is controlling all these rocket launchers? I'll tell you where it's at. It's in a hospital in Gaza, deep under the hospital. That's a violation of all international law. That's what you get with these terrorists. Hamas is a terrorist organization that should be destroyed. And the United States should be helping Israel to destroy it, not urging restraint. Now, the American people, come November and come next year, and I hope earlier than that, are responding negatively to what President Obama is doing in terms of dispersing these children, these teenagers, many of them who are gangbangers and members of the drug cartel. Remember, if there were truly teenagers, innocent teenagers, why is the federal government not allowing congressmen, senators into these facilities? What are they hiding? I'd like to know, what are they hiding? Part of it, I think, is the sheer numbers. Part of it is many of these children have lice, have diseases, have tuberculosis, and about 20% of them are people that say they're under 18 but are not. That's what's being hidden. So you have a lot going on in the world, and the illegal immigration story has really been taken off the front pages in the news, television news, for the simple reason of this airliner being shot down. And it is a tragedy when 298 people go, but equally as a tragedy is what's happening in Israel and the president's reaction to this. I'm looking at the clock. I don't have much time, so I'll sum it up. I want to send my condolences to the families that died Thursday as a result of a terrorist attack by a Russian missile, surface-to-air missile, that was given to rebels in the Ukraine in violation of international law. And nothing is going to happen from the United Nations, because guess who's on the Security Council and has a veto? Yes, Russia. Have a good weekend, and now for America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas Community College District. You have been listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. Now, back to the music, and have a great day.